Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today in the Visionary Chronicles, we've got another Q&A session. This is those sessions we get from questions that our listeners will send in. We find it extremely important, especially what we're going through today in regards to crises, different things that our listeners are having to go through that apply to what they're doing today, not necessarily tomorrow. And they're battling through it. And one of the questions and a lot of the questions that we get is this crisis, you know, how to lead through this crisis, or in that matter, any crisis. This won't be the last one that business owners will go through. So we want to make sure that we're addressing not only these questions, but also areas of need for business owners and listeners. So this is our second in a series of QA sessions, we call them, and we love the questions that come in from our listeners. And this is one that was extremely popular. So I wanted to address it and talk about statistics and also what I call those 10 points of getting through a crisis and what you need to be doing now and what others are doing and what the typical organization looks like as they go through a crisis. So we'll be able to provide some insight to you on, hey, am I the only one that is struggling here and am I doing the right things? So the first statistic I'll put out there just kind of gives you a bit of a relief as to what are the other organizations doing. And when they go into a crisis, what does it look like? And this is both big and small. So this is a recent study that was put out there by Harvard. And it was 2,500 organizations. And what they looked at was going into a crisis, in the crisis and post-crisis, what was the actual benefit of things that executive teams inside of these companies implemented in a crisis? So what was found is that two-thirds of these companies, these 2,500 organizations, really had no benefit whatsoever, meaning that they were effectively status quo, which is what I hate, is when there's an opportunity, whether in growth or whether in crisis, there's always the ability for you to gain market share. So maximize that opportunity in the good times and the bad times. So what this is telling you is that going into the crises, coming out of the crises, there was really neither negative nor good things that happened. So it was effectively a net-net. And then what they found was that actually in almost 20% of the cases of these 2,500 organizations, almost 500 companies, there was actually damage done to the company, meaning that this is a lot of throwing things at a wall, really not having an organized plan, not effectively communicating this to those inside the organization. Whatever it may be, it actually causes damage to the company short and long term. So not having a plan is a plan for failure. So this is really what you look at here on 19% or 20% of these companies effectively by not having a plan. They've actually damaged the organization. So that's not a good thing. And only 8% who had a plan, an effective plan for driving through the crises and being able to effectively communicate that to those inside the organization continually delivered results, meaning that when they went in, they were at a certain level. When they came out, they were actually increasing market share and had successfully ridden through the crisis. They had been through the wave, absorbed it, came out the back end and actually delivered results that exceeded expectations, but it was only 8%. So kind of setting the foundation of where you're at in this crisis is that other organizations are going through the same thing. You'll see a majority, two-thirds of them are effectively going into it, really not knowing what to do and how to maximize the opportunity inside of a crisis. It's effectively just riding out the wave and hoping coming out the back end that you're in the same position you were before. So we found that in 2/3 of the organizations. And so when we look at how do you lead through a crisis, how do you make sure that you're making the right decisions? And one of the things that we looked at was, you know, this disruption inside of an organization in a crisis. So we really want to make sure that wherever we can, we're minimizing that disruption, because the thing that's different about a crisis is that everybody knows it's a crisis. It's not one of those things you can hide inside of an organization. So that's why communication is obviously so important to ensuring that you come through this crisis ahead and you're delivering results beyond expectations. So I kind of put together these 10 points. These are some points from Harvard Business Review and Harvard as they were analyzing these 2,500 organizations. But I've come up with my own list on how these areas minimize disruption inside of an organization. So the first thing they looked at was, moving fast. You know, this time frame, you know, what does fast look like? So the time frame that is effective is to ensure that you've got a plan in place within the first 6 months of the crisis hitting. Ideally, you like to move faster. Anything beyond 6 months, almost all organizations are in failure mode. So what you want to make sure of is that you not only move fast, but here's the key, you got to have a plan to execute. So having a plan, moving fast, is a strategy for success through a crisis. Now, it's one thing to move fast, but in parallel, you have to have that plan. So the plan is the vision that you're going to execute through the crisis. When you come out through the back end, what does it look like? And that has to be something easily understood by everybody on the executive team, as well as everybody that works for the organization. So moving fast, but being able to have a plan that is easily communicated to all continually through the crisis is critical. And when you go through these organizations and kind of comparing to where you're at or maybe where you've been through this crisis, to give you an idea, having a plan and executing it fast, how many of these organizations actually had a plan? Only 33% had a plan. And 33% had one milestone, just an individual milestone. So what that means is that they have an objective that once achieved, they can't go beyond that plan, so they don't have a long-term vision of how they're going to be able to manage through and also grow through the crises. And believe it or not, 33% actually had no plan at all. So I'm sure as you look through this, there's some things that resonate with you, but what I want to be clear on is that having a plan is actually more important than moving fast, but knowing how quickly you have to move is critical. So we found that less than 6 months is a time frame for implementing a plan fast. Second thing is looking at your organization from the standpoint of where you may have some inefficiencies that lead to ineffectiveness. And kind of the opposite of that is being efficient and effective, which are two words I love inside of an organization, is I find someone who's efficient and effective can work half the time and get the same amount done as somebody who's inefficient and ineffective that could work twice as long. So what you want to look for is overlap first in functional areas where you see whether it be marketing, sales, whatever it may be. Because your business is down, demand is down, and as a result, work is down. But that isn't necessarily a case across every organization. You have to be extremely careful here where you make your investments and where you cut back. It has been proven that an across-the-board cuts don't work. So when you look at where the opportunities are with this current crisis that we're in, we're looking at e-com business, right? So anybody who's cut back evenly across sales organization and marketing organization made the wrong choice. Where this is coming from is marketing is going to be converting to e-com opportunities, and sales, because of the downturn in the business, has to redirect to D2C business, which is a smaller chunk of their overall business, but marketing's actually increasing. So you see the balance here between making long-term investments for the future of where your distribution is coming from. So what you're seeing is an inversion in this crisis right now between what they call brick and mortar versus e-com business or click and mortar. So when you see this investment, make sure that you're defining inefficiencies and what it means. Inefficiencies and effectiveness is invest where the industry is going. To cut back across the board doesn't make any sense. If you need people in logistics and operations to fulfill e-com orders, you do a smaller cut there. But if you find a majority of your other distribution channels effectively evaporated or gone away, you need to make a larger cut in the sales side. But in order to accommodate e-com business, logistics, operations, marketing, all of these are increases in investment. So be careful when you define these inefficiencies so you know where to invest, where to cut, and where to increase to maximize the opportunity in the crises. The third point is that focusing on marketing and branding. Do not cut across the board on the brand. This is an opportunity for you to have and increase your brand equity, ensure that you continue to have awareness with your community, and you can make cuts in marketing, but be smart about where you do it. So when you look at sports marketing, that may be an area you want to cut because of the fact there's less TV coverage and there's also less audiences in the field that are going to see your product. So it may be one you cut back. But the other side of that balancing act is marketing needs a lot of digital marketing and content and promotion and PR. So that would be an area you probably actually want to increase some investment. So it's a teeter-totter, a balance between those, but don't cut across the board on the marketing. You want to make sure that you're effective where your investments are. You can reduce investments, but make sure you know where you need to cut. Brand equity, market share opportunities in this crisis are two areas you want to invest in, and that's going to be driven through new channels of distribution and also brand equity investments moving forward. And the fourth point is focused investments. With this new economy that we're in, you need to make investments in order for your company and brand to grow. So just looking at a blanket cut of 20% across the board, again, doesn't make a lot of sense when you see where the business is going to e-com. And we'll always have brick and mortar business, but you're going to see that as a smaller proportion of your overall distribution. So you need to be prepared, making sure that in this new disruptive economy of everything being e-com, or that's where the growth vehicle is, that you continue to make investments there. So be smart about where you focus your investments. And that is truly something you need to analyze, and analyze it with the entire management team. Everybody needs to have input, from finance to marketing to ops to sales. Everybody needs to have input as to where this investment's going, and then justify why you're making that investment for long-term and short-term growth. So focus your investments relative to where your channels of distribution are going. And the fifth point is involve the entire team. This is a little bit different in crises, because in crises, everybody knows there's a crisis. So you got to make sure you're communicating not only with your executive, your management team, but also everybody involved with the company. So you need to make sure that everybody's involved with where the company is going. Now, there will be executive decisions that are made relative to investments and where the short-term and long-term growth is going to be. But make sure that you bring that down to a meaningful vision that you can share with those inside of your company. So that is extremely important, that you involve the entire team in the decision-making process and communicate that to everybody inside the company so it's easily understood where the priorities are and why you're making these investments and what the long-term plan looks like. If you don't understand it, you can't convey that to anybody else, so it's worthless. So you want to make sure you have a plan, set the vision, communicate that to the team. The sixth area is you want to make sure in a crisis that you are flexible. So planning for flexibility. I'll give you an example in the current crisis we're in right now is that the work at home is different. People have to take care of their family. They got to get a home office. They got to get furniture. There may not be set up to actually have an office at home. So you need to be flexible in this new environment. And what you're seeing right now, interestingly enough, is that there's a housing shortage. And everybody's looking to move up because they see this as a long-term implementation of people working at home. So plan for some flexibility, because we've not been in a scenario where there's more people working at home than there are people actually in the office. So there'll be some inefficiencies there, but the long-term inefficiency will turn into an effective plan as you move forward in ensuring that those that are working at home have the flexibility to adapt, and you should adapt as well. So inefficiencies and effectiveness, again, turning to efficiencies, and people being effective once they adapt. Point seven is communicate, communicate, communicate. Everybody knows there's a crisis. What they're looking for is leadership and a vision. So you want to make sure that you're continually updating not only those on the executive and management team, but everybody inside your company. Communicate, communicate, communicate simply, succinctly, be authentic in what you communicate, be direct, and be open. You need to make sure that people understand everything's going to be okay, and or if you have to get them involved in something, they understand why and what the impact is going to be. So communicating across everybody in the organization is extremely important. Number eight is change course if needed. What I mean by this is occasionally you will have to change course. You don't have the set plan. You may not always have all of the answers. And there may be more questions that come up. So you need to be not only flexible, but you also have to have the ability, if needed, to change course until you find your groove, until you find where you're going, until you find the light at the end of the tunnel. So number eight is changing course as needed. That's not necessarily always the best thing to do. But in a crisis, you don't know what's ahead of you. They thought that this crisis, this COVID-19, was going to be something that was going to be done in 3 to 4 months possibly. But those that prepared for the long term understood that if it is longer than 3 to 4 months, what are we doing and what type of course do we need to change to hit our groove on growing the company and having short-term, long-term opportunities for growth? Number nine is be sensitive, but be direct. What they're looking for right now inside of your organization through a crisis is leadership, someone with a vision, but also someone who's direct in here's what we're doing now. Here's what we're doing to get there. Here's things that we need you to support us on. And here's the vision for our long-term growth with the company. So being sensitive, yes, because this is a new environment everybody's in and nobody's really prepared for where this is taking us. They don't know how long it's going to take. They don't know the overall impact of the business. Is it going to be disrupted for 10 years, 5 years, 1 year? You don't really know. So you got to be able to be sensitive. But also at the same time, when I say be direct, it's just they look for someone who's a leader that has a vision. So make sure that you balance that. It's extremely important. People are scared. People don't know what's going to happen. But when you have somebody at the top that's confident, is authentic, and shows leadership through a crisis with a vision, will always be successful. And that brings me to number 10, setting the vision. The culmination of everything we're talking about here and working through and leadership through a crisis, you are the vision. Others will follow you. Stay true to what you're communicating to your team. Be flexible, change course if needed, be sensitive, but direct, but have a vision. During this crisis and COVID, it isn't the last one we're going to have. Understand there is processes to make this easier for yourself, easier for your company, and easier for those working for your company or brand. So staying true to these principles and working through a crisis, you will be successful. I want to thank you for listening to the Visionary Podcast today. I really appreciate your time. And I hope you enjoy the subjects that we're bringing up here with the Visionary Chronicles. It's more diversified, talked about business strategy, areas of support that you need in functional areas, but also on the personal side. There's a lot of things that you deal with as an entrepreneur, small business owner, manager, executive. So we want to make sure we're addressing those as well. So if you like the content, I just wanted to kind of put something out there that hopefully you could join or subscribe to the Visionary Podcast, or at least give us a shout out on the rating. We'd really appreciate it. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora. And for those that do give us a rating, we're also going to be doing some giveaways. We'll have some t-shirts, some different stickers, some rings that we're giving out, some super cool rings on the visionary side, and different subjects. If you've got some subjects you would like us to talk about, you can see when I introduce the podcast each week that these usually come from our listeners on a subject area of concern with them or area that they would like me to talk about. And also, we're going to be starting our interviews. And if there's anybody out there, we've got about 10 lined up right now. We have former executives from action sports industry, sporting good industry, ones that you'll find very intriguing. We're going to have also some graphic designers that will be joining the podcast as well. So if you've got an idea of some people we might want to interview, I'd certainly appreciate it.